It's been a great show so far, and it's going to get even greater. We're joined by a duo who collectively are called Black Ice. They had an album out, Urban Legends. They have a lot more happening. Talk about 2010 being action-packed. It's going to be just that for these two guys. It's Ice-T and Black Silver. Black Ice, welcome to the Friday Night Live show.
What's up? What's going on?
Listen, guys, thanks a lot for taking the time out. I know you're both very busy at the moment.
Yeah, well, you know, me and Silver are on both different sides of the coast. Silver's in L.A. I'm out in New York right now. You know, this is Ice talking. I'm in New York right now. So, you know, we've been friends a long time. So we collabed on this album a year ago. And, you know, we friends. You know, in hip-hop, you rap with a lot of people, but then, you know, you make some people, you become friends. So I've been knowing Silver for years. We actually did the Pimp to Eat album, the Analog Brothers. That was our first project.
That's right.
Yeah, which is where I got my first little fan base from or whatever. Everybody knows me as Silver Synth. I go by Black Silver, but, you know, that was my moniker on that album or whatnot. Mm. But, yeah, Analog Brother numero uno, what it is.
That was something. When that came out, Analog Brothers, it was something that really surprised me, and I think it surprised a lot of people, that combination. It seemed like a real unique combination. You had Cool Keith, you had yourself, Black Silver, you had Ice-T, a group all together. It seemed like a very unusual, diverse combination. How did the group come together? Was it just friendship that brought the group together?
I've been friends with Keith since Ultramagnetics. Right? And then Silver had connected to Keith. How did you connect to Keith, Silver?
Ah, man, remember me and Keith stayed in the same building in Hollywood, and he heard me rhyming in the elevator and was like, yo, your kid is nice. Do you do this for real? And I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to, and I recognized him as Cool Keith, and I was with him ever since, started touring with him like a week later.
Mm. And then Mark Live is Keith's cousin, and Mark is like on a lot of Ice-T albums. He's like my hype man. He was a member of a rap group called Raw Breed.
That's right.
And we became friends. And then who else is in the group? So you got Keith, me, and then Rex, the guy who did the music, was one of my pimp buddies. He actually is the guy who sung the hook on I'm Your Pusher.
Wow. For real? Wow.
So he, speak on it, Sil.
Oh, no, it's all good. I just said, yes, sir.
Yeah, so what happened was Rex wanted us to do the project. Really, Rex put it together and pimping Rex. So he was like, look, I'm going to make all this music with Analog stuff, and you guys, they made it in my studio, the crack house in my house, and he put up all the tracks, so he produced every track, and then every day we would go in there and rap. But the trip was, we was trying to kind of rap in the Dr. Octagon style, which is Keith invented that style, which is like this kind of crazy banter and rambling. Mm. And we all tried to reach the Keith level, and that's why you got that weird kind of rapping, you know, not normal.
Yeah, definitely. It was next level. I've never heard another album like the Analog Brothers album. You know, I've never heard another
album.
Well,
that was the intent.
Yeah, exactly. So
the funny thing, the album cover, we went out, we all got in our get-ups, and we went out, and we were running around outside of a studio trying to find how to do a photo shoot. And then somehow we kind of walked into a supermarket, and before you know it, we were in an aisle. That wasn't staged, right, Silver?
At all. We had just got out of a photo shoot in like a green room for like, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours. Yeah. We decided to go across the street to a Ralph's, and the photographer followed us across the street, and we posed for one picture clowning, and that became the album cover.
Wow.
Yeah, that became the name of the album because there's no song called Pimp to Eat. No. And we just all had picked up some food and act like we was boosted. It worked.
So you got to the supermarket in those costumes because you've been in a photo shoot. And then as a kind of clowning act, somebody said, oh, maybe let me take a photo. They took a photo of you and that became the cover. That's the cover that graces the shelves of listeners all around the world. Wow.
Yeah, I don't think anybody could have convinced us to go in the supermarket. If it had been a photographer's idea, it wouldn't have happened.
No.
That's true.
No, but it's a classic cover, and it is a classic album. Like I said, totally unique. Were you happy with the end product of the Analog Brothers album?
I mean, it was cool. It's what it was. You know, I mean, at some point, it was supposed to have been art. We never planned on doing another album. It was just kind of almost how I created Body Count. It's like you got a bunch of people sitting around, and they all talented. And if you got somebody that can do the music, you could just be like, let's make an album right now. Like, fuck it. No, excuse me. But let's go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And kind of like that's how the Black Ice album got done. Explain that, Silver.
Yo, I gave Iceberg a call. I said, I got an investor, man. I can get you out here so you won't be wasting your time and putting a little dough in your pocket, man, and we need to do a project together. You know, I hadn't really been on any Ice records, but we had been dealing with each other on various levels for a long time. So he was like, well, I got some time, you know, in a month or so I'll be in L.A. already. Let's get it in. He touched down. We got in the lab. We made a couple phone calls to some of the homies to fall through. We had the beats already laid out, so we banged the album out in like a couple days.
And once again, the album is produced by one guy, Bionic. And that's the whole trick. If you want to do a record fast, if you can get all the tracks up, rappers are fast. You know, rappers can come in and sit in a studio and build and do sometimes 2 and 3 songs a day. You know?
Yeah.
So that's how we did it. And then, you know, Silver called other people, Too Short. I got my little artist, Fetty DeMarco, on there. And we put together an album. It was just that simple. I mean, you know, It didn't take more than a week to actually assemble the record.
And what about cost then? I'm assuming it cost very little, did it?
Well, the producer, he owns the tracks, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have, he has the studio, so all you have to do now is get the artists in. And if you're dealing with all your friends, most of the friends are kind of like, hey, I'll rap and, you know, I'll make the money on the get back on the record sales. So, yeah, it's really easy to do.
Mm.
You know, but you got to have a lot of connections.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what you've got. You're blessed with those connections. What about the future then? That was 2008. We're moving into 2010. What can we expect from Black Ice in the future?
Well, you know, Black Ice was a one-off project, kind of like Analog Brothers. It was something just to give Silver that extra boost, you know. So, you know, it's something that we can always do whenever we're together. We've done a few shows, but now tell them about your new project. Silver got a new project.
Yeah, he's aware of it. He actually said he was going to question me about the Concrete Babies. You know, that's me, myself, Black Silver, Prince Poetry from Organized Confusion, Tash from The Alcoholics, and Main Flow from Mood. And, we'll be out there touring out your way, Montana, in February, like second week of February.
All right, excellent. So you got that European tour on the way. I mean, that's a coming together of some real sharp minds. Main Flow.
I think you spoke to one of our booking agents out there, didn't you?
I believe so. Yeah. Was it Joyce? Okay. I think it was. Was it Joyce?
Joyce. Yeah. Dig that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So this new project you've got coming then, Black Silver. I mean, this seems again like an all-star lineup for this. I mean, is this going to be a one-off project like Black Ice and Analog Brothers, or do you plan something more longevity with this new project?
Definitely more longevity than the Black Ice project, simply because, you know, Ice is an icon, man. I didn't expect for him to be able to, you know, get on the road for me for months at a time. And, you know, it's just time consuming. You got the day job, you know.
I got the day job. I'm on Law and Order. I can't tour like I used to, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, and these cats, once again, I've been knowing them for quite some time. We've all toured together in one way or another, variously ran into each other in a lot of different places, and everybody had a little time on their hands. So, you know, Tash and I both live in Las Vegas, you know, and Prince Poe had moved to Los Angeles before I switched and came out to Vegas. So it's like we all knew each other, and right now it's just a good time for everybody. Everybody was kind of, you know, trying to figure out what their next project was. The chemistry's right.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting album, too. Just let me throw that at you real quick. With the characters of each of us compiled on a record, it's very interesting.
I was just going to ask you if, like the Analog Brothers album, you were going to change up your characters at all, or were the artists going to be themselves for this project? Have you got something up your sleeve in terms of creativity for each artist?
Without a question. You know, everybody knows Tash from being, you know, the party animal with the Alcoholics, and we got him on some very mature records, and it's not to say that they're not crowd bangers, because they are, but just, you know, maturity as far as the content and, you know, things of that sort. You know, Prince Poe, you know, that's the preacher. Poe is, he's just doing what he does with Organized Confusion, you know. Everyone used to talk about, you know, Pharoah Monch back when Organized was out, but as their albums went through time, Everyone started quoting more Prince Poe lyrics because they stuck. They didn't have the shock value, but the content was very deep. Mm. You know, Main Flo obviously been featured on all of High Tech's records. That's like his main artist. And, you know, when you listen to one of his records that has, you know, just to say anybody with a little more credibility than Main Flo's actual name, you always say, who is that other cat? You find out it's Main Flo. He's just that type of artist. Very, right. Very potent lyrics. So, yeah. You know, we didn't have to really stretch as far as characters go with this album. All we had to do was be ourselves, and that made the record different.
All right. What's it called? What's the name? What's the name? What's the name of the project?
Knowledge Talks, Wisdom Listens.
Knowledge Talks, Wisdom Listens. We've had all those artists up on the show over the past 12 months or so, and all incredible artists. So this is going to be, it has to be, doesn't it? This has to be an incredible album. We look forward to that. When's that coming? Is that coming in February as well, or is that going to be coming a little bit time after that?
No, we're just going to do a little promo touring. We don't have an exact release date right now. We actually still haven't finished the album, but we do have a couple offers right now, but we're trying to get the whole bid war going to snatch up as much cash as we can, you know. But, you know, everybody's biting. We just did our first show as a group in Portland, Oregon a couple weeks back. We blew it up. We definitely established the market up there. And people were asking the same questions, and honestly, we don't really have any answers right now.
No. Excellent. Something for everybody to look forward to. If I could switch then to yourself, Ice-T, and talk about Final Level Entertainment. This is something which I've picked up through the internet, just through seeing your MySpace, just through seeing your tweets, etc. What's the goal? Mm-hmm. What's the mission now with Final Level Entertainment?
Well, you know what it is? It's like, you know, I've been in the rap game so long, and you know, the rap game had a crash before the stock market crashed. You know what I'm saying? The business changed dramatically with the internet, and you know, I was kind of like laying back. I was doing movies, having a good time doing my show, but I had so many artists around me that was like, Ice, man, we need you to give us that boost, you know, to help us. Mm. So I kind of assembled a lot of kids that I felt were talented, people who had already sent me music, like Flow Sick, like Certified Outfit, Fetty, all these different people, Silver, all these cats, and I put together a little compilation, which is called An Act of War, which anybody wants it, they can go get it. All they got to do is go to MySpace/Ice-T, and you click on the banner, and it's a free download site where you can download the whole album. Well, anyway, we put this album together, put it out there just to get a buzz, and it's really hard. I mean, people really don't want to pay for music anymore, and I kind of got disillusioned with it. You know, I was like, damn, man. You know, the game is like that, and the game right now for hip-hop, if you're not really going to go out there and beat the road like Silver and them are going to do and tour, it's really, really hard to sell records nowadays. You know?
Real hard.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
My problem is I got a lot of artists that have the talent and have the skill and sometimes have more skill and talent than I had. But for them to turn it into money like I did, it's hard. It's like, okay, I'm good, Ice, so I want a Bentley. You know? Like, yeah, but it's not going to be that easy. You know? You got to be willing to ride tour buses and get out there and hit the ground. So Final Level is really an entire production company. I have two films that I'm doing right now. We're doing the documentary Life of Iceberg Slim, who is my mentor and who I got my name from. It's never been done. Mm. And I'm also doing a new film, which is called The Art of Rap, which is my first film I'm directing, where I'm interviewing every single body in hip-hop, asking them the question, what is the art of rap? Not the cars, not the girls. How do you do it? What is your brain procedure? And I just got finished with KRS-One the other night. I got DJ Premier doing the soundtrack. And, you know, I'm just trying to continue to hit hip-hop, you know, but I know it's a different terrain than it used to be.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's it. I mean, other than that, me and Silver have a clothing line we're working on and other things. I mean, now you got to spread your wings if you really want to make money, and we got to. We grown men.
Mm. So would you say then, Ice, that in a way, that frustration, because it must have been frustration that you felt at a certain point when you suddenly realize, hang on a minute, people can't sell like they used to. Talent doesn't equal sales no more. That frustration, would you say you've channeled that into Final Level Entertainment? It's been a way of getting rid of
them. I mean, it's like I got a bunch of football players that I'm teaching football to, but the game isn't football anymore. The game is like some weird form of popularity that you get on the net. It's really corny to me. So I don't really know. I mean, I sit in the room with guys and I go, well, what are you going to do? I'm like, you can wrap circles. I mean, I'm friends with Immortal Technique, Chino XL. I mean, some real devastating rappers.
Yeah.
And it's really hard. I don't really know. I'm not going to sit up here and say Ice-T knows everything. I do know if you're willing to go out and do the shows, people will show up and still see the show. I know that.
Mm.
You know? Yeah. So I think, you know, Final Level, I'm just going to see where it goes. I mean, me and Silver, we talk about the science of it always. I'm going to always rap. I'm about to do a song with KRS, my first, and Smooth the Hustler, who's another one of my partners. We're going to go in the studio this week and lay out our first record. But now it's like I'm rapping for love. I mean, you got to remember, I used to be able to make a record in my house, finish the album, you know, take it to Warner Brothers, and they would write me a check for like $300,000, right? Then 6 months later, Cole go to them, say, are you going to pick up my option for my next album? They like, yeah. And they give me a check for $600,000. Now, you got to take a record before you finish. It's out. It's leaked. It's on the net. It's gone. So, there used to be days when we used to all go to the record stores like Tower and what was the big one in Britain?
I suppose it would have been lines like maybe
FYI or
Virgin
Megastore.
Yeah, HMV, yeah.
Those record stores are gone, right? They don't exist. It's rough. So you would go and buy like 12 inches of CDs and put them into your disc changer. And then most of the times I'm even dealing with rappers. I'm like, what's the last record you bought? And they look at me stupid. You know? So we're in a whole nother realm, man, right now. And most rap that's making money has gone absolutely pop. You know, and there's nothing wrong with it, but that's kind of like what hip-hop was against. It was kind of like, we want to keep it a little different than pop music.
Yeah.
So it's a dilemma for all the artists out there listening to me. It's a dilemma. It's not a dilemma to make good music, but it's very hard to reap the benefits.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense, and it makes more sense than ever, because tonight on the show, we're going to be giving the CD Baby link to a group who've just finished their album. They're called Conspiracy of Mind, a great group. They've got Chino XL up on the album. They've got a lot of people up on this, a great album. And, of course, they've been saying, well, why don't we play exclusively on the show tonight? Let's play the joint with Cannabis that we paid for. That'll make people come and buy our album. But you got to realize, we're streaming. So I know for a fact that people out there listening, innocently, because they want the Cannabis joint as well, they'll just rip this off the recording on the podcast of the show, and they'll have the joint, and they won't go and download it for 99 cents. So this is exactly what you're talking about now. Exactly the dilemma.
It's complicated. It's complicated. And, you know, me, you know, when people look at Ice-T, they don't only look at a rapper. They look at a rapper that has reaped some of the benefits. They see Yo MTV Cribs. They see the car. They see these little things, and they like, I want that. Of course you do. Of course you do. But to get it the way I got it, Silver knows. We sit up there and we talk day and night, and we know it's just not the same game.
At all. Yeah. Ice had the idea to take this thing on the net and do it really big some years ago with the Coroner Records.
Oh, see, I don't even want to talk about that.
It had to be 6, 7, almost 8 years ago, something like that, at least 7 years. And if we had just jumped on it, Ice was talking it. I don't think everybody gripped it. I was there. I was with him. I didn't have the records to just give him. And it's so frustrating because it would be, if we had to capitalize then, we'd be fully blown right now.
Yeah, we was on I had discovered crack. You know, like, I knew that this is the way it was going to go because I was signed to Atomic Pop with Public Enemy, which was one of the first internet labels.
Yeah.
And I was telling my artists, like, yo, we're going to be the first internet record label, but they couldn't understand it. They couldn't even understand. I had, like, MP3 players, Rios and stuff, and I was trying to show it to them, and they were kind of looking at me like I was crazy.
Damn.
You know? So we missed that tag, but that's just what it is, you know?
Yeah.
So now me and Silver got stuff that we're trying to jump ahead of the curve on right now, other endeavors, and hopefully we won't miss this tag.
No, definitely not, man. Now, times have changed. I've got my co-host in the studio, Menace, sat right next to me. He's going to just pick up at this point. Menace, I hand over to you.
Okay,
what up, Menace?
How you doing, bro? How you doing, fellas?
What's up?
Good. How you doing? Obviously, you came up at a time where technology didn't have half the influence and impact it's having on rappers today. I mean, you were inspired by what was going on offline as opposed to online on the internet. As we make it into this new generation, this new decade, how important do you think it is for the younger blood in hip-hop to recognize and realize that propaganda, both online and offline, does equally exist with each other?
I mean, you know, you just got to, I mean, propaganda is just part of the game. You know what I'm saying? People going to try to hurt you. I think it's quicker with the net. I think now, I mean, come on, man. You know, I mean, with Tiger Woods being as much trouble as it wasn't for the net and YouTube, I mean, whoever heard of you get caught cheating and you're on the front cover of national papers? I mean, this is, it makes everything trivial and stupid. And now what rappers have figured out, this is what really bothers me. If we get on the net and diss each other, we'll get more hits. So it's like turned into like Gossip Girls, you know?
Yeah, it's real annoying. That part of the game frustrates me. I'm glad you said that, Ice.
So they just want to diss each other, and that's how they get hits. But now you talk to a rapper, and he goes, yo, I got a lot of hits. I'm like, that ain't a sale. I mean, you got a lot of hits, a lot of views. That does not turn into, you need to sell stuff, you know? I mean, if you want to, you know, you want to buy a house. I mean, see, the thing of it is rappers aren't kids. Rappers are grown men nowadays. If you got a girl and you got a family and you got kids, if you really want to be a professional, this has to be a job. But now it's turning into a side gig. You know, I mean, when I was rapping, it was my full-time job, you know, all I did every day.
I mean, I was talking to Montana just the other day, talking about this game being called a game, because it is exactly that. I just wish it were better players the same way you wished it was. I mean, how do you guys think that this issue should be reflected on and challenges a culture together?
Reflected on as a culture, you said?
Right.
Well, I mean, we just got to deal with it. Nothing's going to change, per se.
It ain't going back.
Yeah, we just got to reinvent ourselves as artists, like... You know, I mean, right now, I don't feel just completely, you know, I'm not disillusioned by the game. I don't feel completely assed out. It's a bit frustrating. You got to work that much harder, but it can be done. You know, I'm not, you know, sitting over here hungry. I do rap for a living. It's not like it was back then, but, you know, it's all about reinventing yourself. Like I said, I got a family. I got to do this. When I get up, you know what I mean? I'm thinking what my next move is, how I'm going to sell this next record. You know what I mean?
And what I tell cats is, it's not, you can't ask me how to do it, because the way I did it, you can't do it that way. So you have to come up with a new plan. You know? In other words, all I can tell you is the game I use isn't working at this point. You follow me? So you know, first off, you got to be a good artist. Then you got to say something poignant and entertaining. But then trying to turn it when it's like there's so many ways that this music can get out. The way you do it right now is you build a site, you put out your music, you give away so much music that when you finally says, will you buy something, people go, okay, I will give you something. But I didn't used to have to give out 200 records a year free.
No doubt.
That's a lot of work.
Can you both recall,
that's a lot of work.
Can you both recall your first experience online using the internet for hip-hop at all?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Right before, you know, MySpace and all that hit the scene, you know, it was a good time to get on iTunes. And, you know, I did all right for myself personally because they were doing independent deals, as well as if you were, you know... computer inclined, I'll just say computer literate, you know, you could do independent ringtone deals then too. I still have a license agreement with Nokia from like, you know, like 2002 or something like that. And, you know, if you did those types of things back then you could still reap some of the benefits because the contracts are like pretty much indefinite. But right now, if you didn't have that contract with them back day, then you can't even get into a new one because, you know, ringtone rap is like a big deal now. You know, these major artists, the Lil Wayne's and the, you know, the Fabulous's, they have ringtones that drop off of their albums before their albums drop. They've already sold them.
So who goes in the studio to make a ringtone, man? You know
what I mean?
It's like, exactly. It's ridiculous. I had done my first net record deal with Atomic Pop.
Okay.
And I sold like 20,000 records over the net, but it was secure downloads. This is really before what was the ones that got busted? Napster and all them.
Sure, yeah. Mm.
And we had secure downloads, and I moved 20,000 of the Seventh Deadly Sin, and I got a check for $100,000, you know, and that it wasn't that many records because that many people didn't even have computers and the ability to hear the record after they downloaded it because it was to MP3, so they couldn't take it to their car.
Right.
But I was at the edge of it, and Silver told you I wanted a record company based on that, but you know. It's a new day, and you just have to adjust to the game. You know, you have to readjust yourself to the game. So, you know, it's a new world. Kids gangbang on the net now. Kids, you know, it's like the net is a playground. Nobody goes outside no more. I mean, what can you really rap about when you don't live a life? All you live is on the net. So the content changes, too.
You know what's hilarious? What was your name again, man?
It's Menace. Menace. Right.
I was telling your partner Montana that my other group, Concrete Babies, we just did our first live performance as a group a few weeks ago, and I tested something new out. You know, a few artists knew that we were coming there, and they wanted us to have their CD, right?
Right.
So they came and they brought, you know, they handed me a CD. Yo, please check us out. That type of thing. I'm like, cool. Nice to meet you. Did you like the show? Blah, blah, blah. What I handed them in return, when I was selling at the merchant booth, and what I handed them in return was a flash drive with my music on it. These kids can put the flash drive into their phones, into their radio in their car, into their computer at home, into their television sets now. You know what I mean? So if you can keep up with the times, then you can still be a successful artist. I think I sold like 85 flash drives at $15 a pop on the road. That's decent little cash.
Absolutely, yeah. which is why artists like yourself, Ice and Kieris, when they survive it at these times, because they have that ability to adapt.
Mm-hmm. I think the trick is we got to catalog in before the crash. You know, so people that have like 8 and 10 albums before this happened. You know, I can always tour. Chris and I might come to Europe and Britain because he was talking, Ice, we have to go out together. You know, he gets motivated. Chris is like a preacher, so once he gets a feeling, you know. So I told him, I said, I have no problem. We just have to pick the right time. But we have a catalog of music that's pre this whole zone, you know. So now I kind of just make records and give them away. Honestly, me and Smooth, we go in the studio. But you got to remember, when you're using producers and you're using sample music and you're using all stuff, you got to pay to actually make this record. So now you're paying to give something away. So you could put yourself in a deficit. You know, if it costs you $100,000 or $50,000 to make an album, you got to recoup that. I mean, if you borrowed that from your buddy, you know, so it's kind of like it's a very interesting warp that things are in right now, you know. But then you're going to always have the artist that'll have the hot record on the radio, you know, and they'll make the money. But then they're also branding, too. There's a lot of new games out. Trust me, a lot of new games.
Switching gears and bringing it back to what you were talking about just earlier, and I'd like you both to answer this question, if that's cool. How strong of a link is there between this new generation of so-called gangsters and technology? I mean, just the other day, as you said, I read that gangs are using Twitter as a means to organize. I mean, do you see the internet becoming a voice of that generation if it hasn't already become that?
No, the internet's a party line. That's all it is. It's a big party line. Anybody can talk to anybody. I could talk to somebody in Istanbul. It's a party line. So, of course, you know, people are going to use that to connect and, you know, put out hate and put out love and put out whatever they want. The thing of it is, you know, you got a lot of people sitting at home. The thing about the net is you got a lot of people sitting at home popping crazy and talking crazy that ain't going to do nothing, you know? So you got this real vibe of energy, but it's not real energy. It's just, yeah, 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 we're Crips. No, you're not. You know, You're not. You know, it's. I don't care what they say on the net. It's not as serious as when you're out in the middle of a park with a bunch of cats and it's real people standing there, you know? So I think it's more voyeuristic. What you think, Silver?
I don't know. I'm a little surprised that it frustrates me. I usually don't let stuff like that bother me because it's inevitable. You know, like you said, people are going to get on there and do whatever they feel because they're in the comfort of their home.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes it frustrates me because what winds up happening is, like you said, one of them will catch a buzz, and he'll be, to the public, the realest, hottest, newest shit. He's the
right
thing because he pops the most stuff, you know what I mean? But, you know, yeah, the dude is like, yay, he's sitting at home twiddling his fingers, scared to come outside. He don't know nothing about what he's talking about, so what he read and other people or heard in other people's raps, and he's emulating it, and he just happened to have, like you said earlier, the most hits. And sometimes it gets to me. It's a bit frustrating. I wish they cut it out, but they're not, so we got to deal with it.
You know, I wanted to always create a program that anybody who tweets anything or anybody who posts something, you could hit a button, search them, and knock on their front door.
For real.
You know, I think that would shut a lot of this down, you know. But I've heard about people getting on the net and starting arguments and then meeting places and, like, killing each other.
Wow. Yeah, I've heard of that, too.
You know? So it's stupid. It's stupid. You know, if you ain't going to say it in real life, face-to-face, then, you know, all that behind. And the thing of it is on the net, people can use aliases. They're not even real. So it's kind of corny.
If you guys could read
really out. Corny.
If you guys could revamp and update Pimp to Wheat with different producers to further appeal and reach to this next generation, who would you choose and why?
Now say that again.
If you could revamp and re-update Pimp to Wheat to further reach this next generation.
Or make a new Pimp to Eat album?
With new producers, who would you choose to be producing those tracks and why? This current generation.
Oh, that's an ill question.
Yeah, it is. But to be honest with you, it'd be a lot of the younger homies. You know, they're thinking ahead of where we were at the time, you know, and I just tell them, you know, obviously to use some of the analog equipment and do what you do.
Yeah, it's kind of hard because the music we used was really strange. It wasn't traditional rap music. It was moves and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it'd have to be somebody who would be on some avant-garde type music. You know, not none of the basic big producers to do kind of like, you know, mainstream rap right now.
Exactly. Definitely.
Progressive hip-hop.
Yeah, progressive hip-hop, you know. Mm. Stuff like Tricky and them do, you know, that kind of hit trip-hop and weird stuff. Because that was the whole project. It wasn't to be, you know, a sinister gangster album. It was funny, like I was saying, I'm working with Premier yesterday. And he was like, yo, so I'm going to make this track, and it's going to be an Ice-T track, you know, like. Okay, you know, so, you know, that means
well.
It's going to be sinister and scary before I even start rapping.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Definitely, man. Now, listen, I know we've been taking a lot of your time. People are loving this. A few listener questions that have come in, particularly about the DJ Premier project. Let's talk a little bit more, if you can. Now, you say it's a soundtrack to your brand new movie, which you are directing, The Art of Rap. What more can you tell us, then, about this project, this actual DJ Premier-produced album that's coming out? I'm assuming it's going to be an album.
Okay, this is what it is. Okay. Premier is in the studio. He has a studio right now. He's making an album with KRS-One. KRS is making an album right now. I don't know what it is. I heard a record he wrote about the gods. It was crazy. So Chris is in there. So I called Premier up, and I want Premier to do the soundtrack to my movie. And that's how I ended up in the loop with all of them. And, of course, you step in the studio with them, and they're like, you got to make a record. Okay, that's that. My movie is an idea I came up with because I'm so kind of like mad at the way rap has turned out right now, because it used to be when I was rapping strong, when you say you was a rapper, you were respected. You're like, wow, you're like Chuck D, you're like K, you know, you're like Big Daddy Kane, you're like Rakim. Yeah. Now when you tell somebody you're a rapper, they look like you look at you like you're a sucker.
Straight up.
You know, because they've taken the bar down so low that it means any, you know, body can do it. And it you know, hip-hop requires skill. Rap requires skill. So I said, let me just take it back and let's put it on an educational level. So this film I'm going to do is going to win Sundance. It's going to be something that you'll watch at the universities. And it's kind of like an actor's workshop thing where they talk to actors about how they act. I'm going to talk to the rapper only about how he creates his rhymes. You know, like, one of my first questions is, since hip-hop is a masterpiece, we all must agree that nobody painted the entire painting. What stroke, Silver, in the masterpiece did you put on the painting?
Dig that.
You know, okay. So we're going to find out what everybody brought. And if somebody says, hey, I love the art of story rapping, we're going to cut to Slick Rick. Mm-hmm. If we say writing, I might cut to Jay-Z. I might cut to Eminem. I might cut to 50 Cent. I might cut to Immortal. I might cut to Kool Keith. I got everybody in hip-hop that's going to be in this film. Everybody that's in my BlackBerry. And I got everybody. So I got Lil Wayne. I got all y'all. I got Lupe Fiasco. I got all the new ones too. So it's gonna be dope.
We need to get some UK artists on there, man. We'll send over the footage.
Well, you know, I was the first person to sign a UK artist
of
in the United States.
Were.
I signed Hijack.
Oh, classic days, man. Classic days. And thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah,
well.
I signed Hijack. You know, so I was out there and I heard him on Westwood and I was like, yo, who are these guys? He's like, they're kind of crazy. They're from Brixton. I'm like, that's what I want.
Yeah.
And I took them on tour around the world.
That's right. A classic album, Horns of Jericho. To this day,
mm-hmm.
to this day, I don't know if you've heard, listened to it recently, man, and all the busy life you're living, but it's a classic to this day, man.
Silver, you need to YouTube Hijack and listen to them fools. Them cats can out-rap the people today. They bad.
I know what's happening.
Yeah.
Definitely, man.
Comanche Sly, DJ Undercover, you know? Ulysses, DJ Supreme, you know? Oh, my God.
Listen, Ice, that film sounds immense. I can't wait for this to be done. We're going to give you all the support that you need. Just let us know what we can do. We'll promote everywhere, all across the net, and let's get everybody who should watch this film to watch this and to appreciate it.
I mean, you're going to have to. You're going to have to. In other words, I'm going to stop telling people whatever I think is a dirty glass of water. You know, if I think hip-hop's a dirty glass of water right now, I'm going to set a clean glass of water right next to it.
Mm.
You dig?
Yeah.
I'm going to show you how genius these cats are, and make you respect when you listen to a Rakim what he is really doing. You know, one of my questions is, can you demonstrate one of your more artistic raps, and then can you recite someone else's rap that is artistic, and what MC do you admire and why? So you're gonna hear, but we taking out the cars, the girls, all that. It's gonna be like Ice Cube sitting at a park bench. It's gonna be like Dana Dane sitting with his kids, that type of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what's up.
That's reality rap. Forget this version that the media are painting for everybody. This
yeah,
is what we're talking
about. I'm his boy. He got me excited about it.
Yeah,
it's all the rap. It'll be the first film I ever directed. So, and trip off this, the BBC is going to fund it.
Wow.
Right.
Damn, man.
The producer that's helping me is from London, so he got in on it. He's a guy, I don't even have his name, I don't want to put him on blast, but he already does television shows over there on songwriters.
Mm.
And he does whole shows on songwriters. So he's going to step in and do this film. And this film is going to be a 90-minute monster, you know. And the background track, premiere, when I say soundtrack, we're not using anybody's real music. We're not using anybody's hits. They're going to rap a cappella, and there'll be music in the background playing, but it's not about the music in this one. This is all about the rapper. And we'll have Dr. Dre. We're going to have different producers and asking them, how do you know when a rapper has it? What is it? What makes them different than somebody whack? That's another question. Whack is a word unique to hip-hop. What is whack?
Straight up, they need to know.
Well, man, this is going to be a real education, like you said. Listen, guys, thank you so much. We've got Concrete Babies project on the way. We've got Art of Rap and many other things, of course, from Ice-T. And of course, we've got anything in the future that might happen, of course, with Black Ice. But these guys are friends. These guys are family. Of course, these guys are always going to be together, whether it's on a Black Ice project or elsewhere. Listen, thank you so much for both of you for taking the time out. We really appreciate it on the Friday Night Live show. And we're really looking forward to supporting everything we possibly can here at Conspiracy Worldwide Radio.
Hey, Silver, shout out to, since we talked so much about the net, shout out the websites.
Oh, man, there's so many of them. Well, we got Final Level, you know what I mean, entertainment.com. You have, you know, obviously MySpace, / Black Silver ADO. That's Black Silverado. Gosh, we got Reverb Nation. We got the, and they're all, you know, just our titles. There's a Black Ice Reverb Nation. There's a Black Silver Reverb Nation. So forth and so on. You guys know what's happening. You go to one, you can get to them all.
And mind you, just go to icet.com, ICET.com. That'll take you to the final level page. You can go to MySpace/ICET, all pushed together. Or you can go on Twitter, I'm Final Level. I'm at Final Level. And, you know, if you go into that zone, it'll direct you to other things. The newest project we have is our clothing line called Powered by Hate. That's me and Silver working together as partners. If you go to powered-by-hate.com, you can sign up and be the first to get the new clothing line we're putting out, which is going to be revolutionary in itself.
Excellent. Yes, sir. Man. Listen, a lot of listeners have been asking. You keep mentioning the word revolutionary, and you've mentioned his name a lot. Is there going to be a collaboration between Ice-T and Immortal Technique in the future?
Yeah, I've worked on Immortal's record. Well, he had a film he's doing, it, so I was in that. And I actually did a song the other night with a kid named Marco Polo. It has myself, Immortal Technique, and Cannabis. Wow. And Marco Polo on it.
Okay.
Sick.
It's already done. It's already done. But that's for this other kid named Marco Polo's record. Me, just so you know, I usually only rap with my friends. So, like, I have to know you, and then we'll get in the studio. I don't sit back and say I need to make a record with this guy because he's hot. You dig?
Yeah.
So, if I know you, then we collab. I'm like an old school cat, like James Brown. We got to know each other before we jam together. You dig? And that's when you get in the studio and you get fly. So those cats are friends first. And I think it's real when you're a friend to somebody, but maybe you never made a record with them, but they're your friend. That's fly. You know, it can't always got to be business. Okay, we friends. I need 16 bars real quick. You know, nah, that's kind of corny to me.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. Listen, man, thank you so much, the pair of you. Take care. God bless. And I hope 2010 brings everything that it should do for you both. Pair of you. I hope we stay in touch,
y'all,
as well.
Be easy, man.
All right. So I'm going to call you back later. I got to take Coco. Coco's about to go be in a video game. So I got to go her to do this week. Yeah.
All right. I'll let you play, man.
All right. Later.
Peace. Take care. God bless. It's the Friday Night Live Show. It's Ice-T, it's Black Silver, it's Black Ice.